Well, good morning, and thanks for tuning in to the morning show this Wednesday, July 25th. We're all sitting around in the studio. We have six of us in here. No, we have five. One more is going to show up. But it is, again, Wednesday, July 25th, the last Wednesday of July already. Chris Bessler, my co-host.
And good morning, Susie.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, July did kind of fly right by, didn't it?
It certainly did. And we said this exact same thing the last Wednesday in June. So what happened?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, it's the pace of summer.
It's the pace of summer.
Yeah, and we have some guests in the studio this morning. First off, we're going to be talking with three folks from Euroides Village. Sarah Clintworth. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Mary Quinn Hurst.
Good morning.
And also from the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, Ruth Klingensmith.
Actually, it's Karen Wiedemeyer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Okay.
And yes. Ruth is coming in. She'll
Ruth
be here in a little
in.
Bit.
Ruth is coming in. I'm sorry. Yeah.
In fact, here she is. Come on in, Ruth. Here we are, okay. Anyways. And we're going to be talking with both the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint and Euroides Village about their each of the organizations. They represent nonprofits here, but also a collaboration that has formed to really enhance the work that they're doing, the important work that both these organizations are doing. So welcome and thanks for being here. But before that, what should we talk about?
Well, why don't you give us a lowdown on the weather?
Okay. From the National Weather Service, we have currently 68 degrees, but it's going to get warm. And they're also talking about widespread haze. That's the first time I've seen that on a weather report. It will be sunny today with high near 88, northeast winds 5 to 9 miles per hour, becoming southwest in the afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with low around 54, little light winds. Thursday, mostly sunny, high near 88 again with light winds. And Thursday night, low around 55. But the big news is it's going to get really hot towards the weekend. And in Spokane, I actually heard it's going to get up to 100 degrees. So let's see what happens.
Very hot.
It's hot everywhere.
That brings some real fire danger. Although right now the air is mercifully very clear and nice out there. There are four fires in Idaho. The closest fire to us right now is a 51-acre fire near Libby, Montana, but we're not getting smoke from that, so it's pretty nice out there. Other things going on outside, I don't know. Susie, you've been looking up in the sky at night?
Absolutely beautiful moon last night.
Gorgeous, and we're seeing Mars about as bright as you're ever going to see it. It's on almost complete opposition to Earth, which means its face is fully illuminated by the sun. So if you look kind of in the southern horizon at night, you'll see it really red. It's gorgeous, gorgeous, actually. It's so much brighter than any of the stars. Also, Saturn is up there and really bright at night, kind of more towards the western horizon. So check out the night sky tonight. We will have a full moon on Friday, so a lot of things happening up there. We had sunrise this morning at 5:11 a.m. It's going to set at 8:33 p.m., so we're still getting those beautiful long days of summer. And they expect the air quality to stay good as long as we keep the fires at bay.
Yeah, let's hope for that. That's important. What else is going on, you may ask, Chris?
Yes, I was just going to ask that question.
I knew that. Well, at the libraries, there's two libraries. The Sandpoint Library here in town and the Clark Fork Library are all having really cool events today. In Clark Fork, they're hosting a drumming circle. It starts at 2 p.m. And at our library here in Sandpoint, they're hosting a crafternoon, they're calling it. And they're going to learn about rocks, fossils, petrified wood with Nancy Scotts. And that also starts at 2 p.m. So two really cool things going on at the libraries in Sandpoint and Clark Fork.
And as well, of course, there's a lot of things going on around town. More than we can possibly mention here, but we do have crazy days happening this weekend.
Yeah,
we're kind of involved in that with CareFly.
Yeah, let me tell you about it. Crazy Days will be hitting the sidewalks of Sandpoint on Saturday. That's coming up June 28th. And KRFY will be hosting its annual, we're calling it now, Well, they'll be joining the festivities with a sale of used CDs, and there's hundreds of them. And the good news is they're all categorized in boxes with the types. There's blues, country, jazz, world, and pop music. And at the end of this show, Jim Healy, who's doing the organizing of this CD, KRFY CD sale, will come in and tell us a little bit more about it. So he'll be in here about 1:45.
Yeah, so listen for that. It's a chance to get some really good music at a really good price. It's out on the sidewalk right in front of our studio here on First Avenue. And of course, all up and down the sidewalk is Crazy Days happening. So if you haven't hit that, get there early is our advice, because a lot of the really good stuff goes
really soon. Because it's kind of crazy.
It's kind of crazy, yeah.
Well, I think we could get to our interview since we have four smiling faces. Ruth, thanks for joining us. And I think it's always good for our listeners to hear from each organization about their organization. You've both been around for a while now, one probably more known in Sandpoint, the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, but Yerrates Village has been working hard to establish a relationship with the folks here in Sandpoint to help support important work in Ethiopia, a children's orphanage over there. So let's start with Yerrates Village. Sarah, I think you're probably the spokesperson for this. Tell us a little bit, just to bring our listeners up to speed when we start talking about your collaboration.
Sure. Thank you so much, Susie. So Yerrates Village is a permaculture-based orphanage, meaning that we're very focused on sustainability for the local people, the indigenous people of Ethiopia. And we are also an orphanage, so our main function is to provide a long-term family-style home for children in that area who, you know, are not eligible for adoption out of the country or anything like that. They would be on the street or completely on their own otherwise, and so that's our main focus. We were established in 2014, and Jennifer Phil Crooks, who I'm sure some people in the community know her. She started this organization in 2014 after having this deep desire and passion to do that for a very long time. And she finally was able to make it a reality in 2014. And we started out with 14 children that came to us from another program that had lost its funding. And now, as of today, I just updated our roster. We are at 86 children. So 86 children who, without what we do, and that means like the supporting people, all the donors and the sponsors and the people that support our work, including the Music Conservatory and a number of really wonderful people here in Sandpoint, all make that possible for these 86 kids to have a home, somewhere that's safe, food, loving care. And also, like, it's a really beautiful site. If you haven't checked out our website, there's some amazing pictures of what it looks like, and it's really gorgeous. So it's www.yerradisvillage.org. So that's just the basic story.
It's the idea of how it all came about. I think in the beginning, it was Jennifer's dream to start being able to protect these most vulnerable children. And they were just housed in a center, but the dream expanded to purchase this land and then build this permaculture center where these children are now living. And I'm sure that there's plans for it to continue to grow. It's on the kind of in the hills of Soto. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up. We did in the beginning, we didn't have our own site. We were renting kind of this. It was a compound, and it was, you know, it was nice enough, but it was just a concrete compound. And our goal was not just to provide a home, but for it to be really productive so that the kids could be really involved in, you know, knowing where their food is coming from. And the permaculture side of our project, one other really important aspect of it is that we also are going to be offering permaculture training and education to the local and regional communities. Because Ethiopia has a large emphasis on agriculture in their economy, but their agricultural techniques they've been taught a lot of mainstream agriculture, large-scale agriculture that doesn't work very well in that environment. And so we're trying to help them develop more sustainable techniques for growing food with less energy input.
So, and that's what you call permaculture.
Yeah.
It's supportive agriculture.
It's a lifestyle that's lived with the environment taken into account. And so that applies to your housing. It applies to how you grow your food, how you manage your wastewater, just all sorts of different things. And it's just really geared towards long-term sustainability and environmental consciousness.
Okay, well, that's one of the aspects. The other aspect is that these children who come to Yuradi's village, vulnerable, in need of protection and help, need more than just shelter. And so I'm going to turn to Mary Quinhurst. And Mary, you've gone over there. You are a pediatric occupational therapist. You're working with the young children over there on some very important issues. But let's start with your first impression when you first arrived there, and then the work that you're doing briefly.
My first impression was last summer when I was able to go over with the medical team. And that impression was one of, where do I start? I know development, I know children, but how do I start with children whose basic needs are not met? And the advice I had been given was just join the children and watch and be a part of their lives. And that really is the sustainability theme in development as well, is that it's all relationship-based. And to know the children and the caregivers, the house mothers, the gardeners, the permaculture folks, it's all one big family. And so last year, I was able to just try to melt into that family. And they were so accepting. So that this year when I came, I was able to join our medical team and really make some changes that I think empower the families there and empower the caregivers. The result is that whole feeling of sustainability flows into child development as well as the permaculture.
What kind of conditions are the children? Are some of them coming in malnutrition?
Very much so. Yeah. The whole issue of mealtime and eating is a huge issue. Things that would send us to the doctor to get an antibiotic kill these children. So there are many deaths from not just the malnutrition, but also for feeding issues that are difficult to handle. So instead of being able to learn how to eat, they get very sick with pneumonia and they're gone. Mm-hmm. And so the whole idea of helping these children to lead healthy, happy lives starts with nutrition, kind of like with all of us, that food's that core thing that brings us all together. So really looking at mealtime, taking the performance anxiety out. Sometimes when you see your child dying from malnutrition, you feel helpless. So empowering these caregivers is a big part of what we do.
So you went over there, and you'll probably go over again, and you help set up and look at each child and see what they need, and then help the folks that are there, the indigenous folks that are continually there, helping find ways to help these children and see what they might need at different times and different problems that they come in with.
Exactly. Me coming in there and our team coming in there annually doesn't make the difference. The real difference is changing the daily routines. And to do that, we've been training. There's one caregiver, a housekeeper, who showed a real gift for doing therapy. And so she is now doing therapy with the children who have the pronounced developmental needs and affecting change on a daily basis. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the children in Yuradi's village actually do have special needs.
Yeah, that's correct. In fact, that's one of our little niche things that we really fill, is that we are the only home in that area. We're really kind of one of the only homes in existence, actually. But we will accept children with special needs. So we have children who are epileptic. We have some kids that are deaf. We have some kids that have albinism, things like that, cerebral palsy, different things that are higher needs that in that area at this point in time, there just aren't the resources in the local community in general to address those things. But we do have those resources available. And so we've really focused on trying to make sure that those kids that might really fall through the cracks even more than just, you know, a normally healthy child, that they really get the attention and the therapy that they need to try to, you know, attain the potential that they have available to them.
Well, valuable work you're doing over there. I think about when you're talking about the vulnerable children and that you are accepting to Yerati's Village, what would happen if they didn't, if you weren't there? Well, we don't have to go into that, but it's a place of sanctuary that you've created, so it's a beautiful thing. And we're going to switch over to the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint. We have Ruth Klingensmith and Karin Wiedemeyer. Did I say that right? Close.
Almost.
Wiedemeyer.
Right, there you go. That was perfect. Thank you.
I'm getting it after 25 years of knowing you.
Not quite that long. But
let's talk a little bit about the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint. Mm-hmm. Probably a little bit more well-known here in Sandpoint, but still, we have new listeners all the time. Just give us a little bit of history.
So actually, we are just about to celebrate our 10th year. And in a way, it's kind of wonderful that we can use what we have created and established to give exposure to an organization that, even though they're doing something very differently, yet they follow a philosophy that we follow as well. And I would like to just say that for our particular program that we have is the International Youth Orchestra. We're an internationally inspired school of performing arts that's accredited. To just say that, we always believe that music has the capacity to change life, change society, and impact all around the world. I know that at times people say that music is a universal language. I actually disagree. I actually say music is a language of the universe. So, having said that, in this particular case, for us to give more exposure and help promote this, which I find to be absolutely magnificent and wonderful cause, and I hope that one of our music therapists at some point can go over and learn, not just contribute, but learn of
that
the music.
That would be amazing. Mm-hmm.
And bring a little bit of that to Sandpoint. I find that Sandpoint has a big heart, and it shows in the beautiful work the community does, and this heart reaches all the way around the world. And I think that's very makes Sandpoint also very special.
I'm just wondering if we could hear just a little bit more about the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint,
sure.
Some of the programs you offer. I know it's changing all the time. It's dynamic. But what do you have and what do you do?
So I would say we are kind of cutting edge, right, and very dynamic. I wouldn't say changing, but developing. Also with the, you know, with the time and what is needed in society. So we are not just your status quo conservatory by any means. And that's sort of the challenge and fun, is to meet the needs of the times. We have currently been accepted into the official El Sistema program. So we are working together with LPOSD, and we are working with many schools. We're actually now also going to Priest River to create a really wonderful after-school fine arts program that is growing steadily, and we are growing the human resources to provide for this as well, and training them and to facilitate the El Sistema throughout our region.
Mm-hmm. And El Sistema is...
I apologize. Okay. El Sistema is a music program that was created in 1974 in Venezuela. And it's a program that in its essence is to help change and promote society, and I would say makes what is invisible visible and help those that are invisible to become visible, even in this case with the kids, the children in the orphanage, to make them visible to our eyes here so we can help.
So there's a particular event that's tying these two organizations mm-hmm. together. I don't think we've even mentioned that yet. So let's, Ruth, why don't you tell us a little bit more about these? You actually have two concerts coming up for the Music Conservatory, and one of them is going to benefit Yerati's Village, as
yes,
I understand.
Yes, thank you for allowing us the opportunity to talk about these events. Yes, we'll have a a Sounds of Summer concert on August 8th, actually at the Heartwood Center. And this just ties into our international young artist exchange that we've had going on for the last 6 years. And there I see a beautiful connection because I feel like when we bring students from other countries here, that they can form these wonderful connections with students, local students, through music, that they continue to take these experiences with them. And we are expanding on our international program. So we've got 4 students that come from Mexico, from an orchestra there. And these are very, I would say, they are students that don't have a lot of opportunity outside of music. We'll put it that way. And so they get to come to Sandpoint, and they are part of an El Sistema orchestra in Mexico, where they're provided instruments, and they get to share their expertise. So they'll be performing, actually, at this concert on August 8th, and we'll be highlighting the Yerrati's Village there at that concert. And because we want to talk about what's happening around the world outside of our little bubble here. And then on August 10th is when we will have our benefit concert for Yerrati's Village, which I'm really excited about, at the Panada Theater. And that is kind of the culmination concert for our international youth orchestra that is practicing all that week under the direction of Dr. Philip Baldwin. This will be our 6th year running that orchestra with local students. We've got the exchange students, also some from Germany this year. We look forward to expanding that program. And then we also have students that come from other states as well. And they all get to join together and perform at at this concert. And we're calling it Music Without Borders because of, I guess, the times, too, that I've personally seen a lot of restrictive borders and philosophies coming up. And just to say, you know, to break down those borders and come together. And I feel like Sandpoint, along the lines of what Karin said, has a very open heart to welcome this sort of thing. And so we really want to celebrate that and highlight that. And then 50% of all our proceeds from the concert on August 10th will go towards Yerrati's Village. And so we're really hoping that the community will come out and support that. We also have the Shook Twins joining us on stage for part of that. And they're really supportive as well of Yerrati's Village. They are excited about that. So we're hoping that the community will turn out and that we can really give you something to use for those kids. I'm going to tear up.
One of the things I know about the Shook Twins is they're busy. They're touring all the time. These two girls grew up here in Sandpoint and know about 1,000 or 2,000 people well. They have a lot of friends and family, so that's really, really fantastic that you got them to join you, because I'm sure they immediately said, absolutely. I just want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY. You're listening to The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. And our guests here in the studio are two folks from Yerrati's Village, at Sarah Clintworth and Mary Quinn Hurst, and from the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, Karin Wiedemeyer and Ruth Clinton-Smith. Did I get that right?
Klingensmith.
Klingensmith. And we're talking about their organizations and how, the importance of their community spirit is what I'm hearing, but also the collaboration that's coming up August 8th and August 10th. Two different things happening, one at the Heartwood Center on the 8th and at the Panada on the 10th.
And I should add the times. So the August 8th concert is 7 p.m. at the Heartwood Center. And that one will have some international flair and appetizers from Ethiopia and from Mexico. And we're just going to, and some from Germany. So we're just going to really have a lot of fun at that community event and just invite the community to come in and interact with these organizations and the students that we have from the other countries. And then the August 10th at the Panada Theater is a matinee at 3 p.m. And the tickets are $5. And then again, 50% of all those proceeds will go towards Yuradiv's village.
I was just thinking about everything that's going on in this town that week. There's a lot going on, but this sounds like a wonderful offering to our community. And Karen?
I'm going to take this opportunity because it just arose, which is quite spectacular. It is part of the school becoming part of the, which I call cultural triangle, that promotes the fine arts with Coeur d'Alene and Spokane. We are working together with the Connoisseur Concert and the Bachfest, and Zul Bailey is going to come up to perform on August 29th at the Heartwood Center, and that's a co-production or together with the Conservatory and the Bachfest and Gertrude Harvey. So tickets will go on sale very soon. That is really, he's a three-time Grammy Award winner. He's a well-known, fabulous, wonderful cellist who also very much believes in helping and sharing and making music go as far as it can go to make changes.
So this is the Bach Festival here in Sandpoint coming up from the Spokane Symphony. And who is the artist, the cellist?
So Zul Bailey.
Oh.
Okay. Is coming, and it's Connoisseur Concerts, the sponsoring organization who we are working with, and Gertrude Harvey as the director. They're very well known down in Spokane and Coeur d'Alene, and we'll look forward to working together with them here in Sandpoint, also hopefully for the future.
Mm-hmm. And what's that date again?
That is August 29th. And on August 30th, we were just confirmed that Zul will give a master class, which is an incredible opportunity. So if there's somebody out there, a cellist, he will also work with Ruthless Chamber Orchestra, but also with a cellist. So if someone out there who is a little more advanced, I would say not necessarily a beginner, they should contact the school at 265-4444.
Mm-hmm. An opportunity of a lifetime, it sounds like,
yes.
If you're a cellist.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I just want to also remind our listeners that we are streaming right now at KRFY.org, and also we will be putting this interview on a podcast on our website a little bit later in the day at KRFY.org, in case you don't get to listen to it all and you want to tune in and get all that information from Ruth, Karen, Sarah, and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
What a nice group of people here. Do we want to take a brief musical break?
Little musical break, and then we'll come back and talk some more about Yuradiv's Village.
And the events that are coming
and
up.
And the events as well, yeah.
Okay, we're going to go with, this is a good one, Bing Crosby, You Are My Sunshine. It's the shortest song in the list. And we'll be right back. This is The Morning Show with Chris and Susie, and this is 88.5 KRFY. Bing Crosby, You Are My Sunshine. And that was Bing Crosby, You Are My Sunshine. Perfect song for today, and we're here in the studios on The Morning Show with Chris and Susie, and we have our guests And Chris?
Oh, we have guests today from Euryades Village, Sarah Clintworth and Mary Quinn Hurst, as well as the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint with Ruth Klingensmith and Karin Vedemeyer. Did I get that right, Karin?
Yes! Yeah. I accept it.
Okay. There's an event that a couple events that the conservatory is putting on. One of them specifically is going to benefit Euryades Village. So let's talk about a little bit more about Euryades Village. You, Sarah, you talked a little bit about how it kind of started with the idea that came from Jennifer. Jennifer's last name, please.
Jennifer Phil Crooks.
Yes, and it's kind of blossomed into this kind of a major thing in Ethiopia now. How does the connection between the Sandpoint and Ethiopia work?
Well, I think one of the, there's a few ways that that works. One of them is that the town that we work in is actually very similar in a lot of ways to Sandpoint. It's quite progressive. There's a certain feel to it that all of us that have been on the ground there kind of go, yeah, this is very Sandpoint-like. It's people that have a lot of hope and have a lot of drems for where they want to go with their lives. And it's a very it's a good energy kind of town, I would say. But then also, one of the most amazing parts about this project is how people are just kind of drawn to it. So Mary, who's here with me today, she worked with Jennifer's kids on a personal level, some of her children, and so got to know the project that way. And then, we've had other people that have just gotten to know, some of us personally, or they've known someone that knew about us. And so it's just kind of this ripple effect that's happened here in Sandpoint, and it just keeps getting bigger. And we're incredibly grateful to the Music Conservatory because these lovely ladies actually approached us and said, hey, we like what you're doing. We'd like to try to work together to support what you're doing. And we feel the same way about what you guys are doing. I think everybody involved with Euryades Village believes in the benefits of music and the arts and creative expression. And those are aspects of life and education that we really would like to be able to incorporate for our kids in the village at some point. So we share some really strong core values around, people being able to kind of live up to their potential, to have the opportunity to pursue creative things, and just this concern with the global community and not kind of just living in our own little space and not thinking outside of that. And so we really share that. And that, I think that really describes Sandpoint. It also really describes Soto. There's a ton of really amazing people there who have come out of the woodwork to help our project succeed there. Local officials, different people who really have no personal interest. They have a personal interest, but it's not going to be personal gain for them. It's just because of the values that they hold, if that makes sense. And so I just feel like we all share those values, and it's amazing to come together and be able to work for the community here in Sandpoint and also for the community there in Soto at the same time. Mm-hmm. So,
and Karin, and Ruth, how did you first get Euryades Village on your radar?
I happen to have somebody, I know Eric Keller well, because, I know his mom, who is German, and it came up in a conversation. And I actually, at that point, I said, well, how come I have not heard about it? Because, we are well connected. And it occurred to me that maybe with what you do to help with giving it more exposure or to add to that, that could be a benefit. Also because, we have a lot of, part of that philosophy is also what we very much support and are based on.
Mm-hmm. So you have an event coming up August 10th. It's actually a fundraiser for Euryades Village, Music Without Borders. Where did the idea for that come from? Did that come from Euryades or did that come from Music Conservatory?
Well, we've had our summer camps and our exchange students now for 8 years. So exchange students for 6 years. So it's a program that's been very well established and it's continuing to grow and to develop. Its intent has always been to make it international. So, and to reach way out of Sandpoint and literally reach around the world. So that's kind of where the thinking has been originally, and the more we can develop that and the more people we can reach, the better, and to find those people who think alike is part of our mission.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's once again, we have a few minutes left, go over the upcoming events that are early in August. And just tell us about that. How accessible is it to everyone? How many people do you want there?
Everyone, right? So the first event is August the 8th, which is at the Heartwood Center at 7 o'clock. And that will be an event that will feature our exchange students as well as our partners in this, like the Yuriadi Village, and also... the El Sistema program, and really it will feature all international components. We encourage donations because they will go to a good cause and they will make a difference. That is a very exciting concert with very, very capable young musicians. And we encourage also for an exchange afterwards with these young musicians and with our partners to see what all can be done. The tickets are $10 and adults are for adults and $5 for students. We serve international food a little bit, right? And the next one then, when the youth orchestra and the exchange students and the Shook Twins are performing, will be August 10th at the Panada Theater at 3 o'clock. And those benefits will go to the Yuriadi Village. So we encourage come and be willing to give. That would really can make a big difference. That will be a wonderful concert, and we look forward to seeing you all. Feel free to give us a call at 265-4444 and look up the Conservatory, Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, and ask all the questions that you feel you need to have answers for. Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. I realize why you picked 3 o'clock on Friday the 10th, so folks can go to that and then go to the festival at Sandpoint afterwards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect timing for a summer afternoon concert at the Panada. Mm-hmm. And Lori and Caitlin Shook will also be there, so it's kind of a fun thing to see them and see how they are in the summer. We usually see them at Thanksgiving in the fall.
And we should say that the theme is a galactic theme, so be prepared. Because remember, music is a language of the universe.
Sounds good, the big universe. Well, Karin Wiedemeyer and Ruth Klingensmith from the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, and Sarah Clintworth and Mary Quinn Hurst from Yuriadi's Village, thank you for being here and telling us all about it. And we are going to take a quick musical break and come back. We have Jim Healy from the KRFY coming in to talk about our big upcoming used CD sales. So stay with us. This is Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Teach Your Children. And the reason I picked this song is because on this day in 1969, Neil Young joined Crosby, Stills, and Nash for the first time at the Fillmore East in New York City. But here it is, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Teach Your Children. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
And know their life.
And that was Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, Teach Your Children. And we're back in the studios of 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show, and we have a new guest in the studio. Good morning, Jim Healy.
Good morning, Susie. How you doing? That's a great choice of a song. From their Deja Vu album, and one of the interesting little back notes to it is on that lilting still guitar is Jerry Garcia.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
I never knew that.
Yeah,
that
he was just plinking around with it and does a really good job, and that sort of just weaves its way through the song.
And did you know that on this day in 1969, Neil Young joined Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Crosby, Stills, and Nash for the first time.
Absolutely. He's not on the first album where They do Marrakesh Express and wonderful songs like that. But, you know, he's working his way into that group.
And you're here for a special reason. Let's talk about it.
Absolutely. This Saturday, which is supposed to be a fabulous day weather-wise, it is Crazy Days here in downtown Sandpoint, Idaho. And the radio station here, 88.5 KRFY, will be having a used CD sale from 7:30 to 4. Many people have donated generously. And we have just a bunch of CDs to put out in different categories. And the money raised will go towards the ongoingness of the radio station. And what we don't sell, we're going to donate to the library so the CDs live on.
I've been watching you gather these CDs from folks, and they're not just ordinary. There's a lot of really good music in there, and it's in categories. So it's not just a yard sale, folks. This is a well-thought-out display.
Lord help a person if they put a bluegrass CD back into a blues box or a world music box.
That's a warning. Let that be a warning to you.
As my mother would say, there'd be hell to pay. And I never really wrapped my mind around what that meant. But absolutely, they are, I have spent an amount of time inventorying, putting them into jazz, if you like Dave Brubeck, Miles Davis. We have a 3-CD set of Ella Fitzgerald. We have country this year. Some people donated country, so we've got Garth Brooks, Trisha Yearwood, Reba McEntire, the Dixie Chicks, and of course a lot more. And we've got greatest hits collections, we've got world music, we've got new age, we've got some classical women artists, blues, bluegrass. But the thing is that half the fun of coming is just grazing, and then you might want to ask us, do you have? And we'd say, sort of like Pandora, if you like, then you probably would like something else. So we've got a ton of CDs, and they're organized, so you can go right to your box that you, but what's sort of interesting is last year we had, and I hate this word, but I'll use it, a plethora of Grateful Dead CDs. Donated, and we don't have that many. For some reason, people are clinging to their Grateful Dead CDs. By the way, I'm wearing a new Grateful Dead t-shirt of their second album, Anthem of the Sun. It just arrived yesterday.
It's beautiful. Purple.
Purple, yeah. Can people see it out there? I'm holding it up to the microphone.
Jim, the big question is, why do you hate the word plethora?
I think it's that TH sound in the middle of a multi polysyllabic word, plethora, it just sounds guttural. It sounds like...
It is guttural. It's like we're coming from the gut, man.
Yeah,
like,
exactly, exactly.
But we are going to have a plethora of sounds here. How many total do you have?
I was asked that yesterday. I don't know. I want them out of my office, and I want to find them new homes. And I not only if you're just grazing, but if you are, if you're into the blues, if you're looking for a specific artist, we've got some great blues CDs that blues aficionados would gravitate towards. You'd have to know the genre. So, and also take a chance. They're reasonably priced. And I can say the price since they're $3 each. And, yeah. you can't beat that. And
at that price, you can definitely experiment.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's not a great penalty. And if you don't like them, take them over to the library.
Yeah.
And the proceeds go to keeping KRFY on the air. I think one of the things I noticed in the last month, possibly, that a lot of these CDs, as they came in, you checked to see if we had them in our huge library, and it has grown recently to include a lot of the best music.
Good point, Susie, that what I do is I use this as an opportunity to grow our station's iTunes library. So I'd run a check, and then I import them, and then I get them ready for the Crazy Day sales. So come on by, say hello, 7:30 to 4, and help us make space here and take some home and find them new homes. That's the Crazy Day sales, UCD sale, jazz, country, blues, pop, classical. We've got a lot.
And again, this is the second year you've done this. And
yes, it
seems like it's becoming almost annual. Not quite ready to say that, but
I wouldn't go that far, but I've really enjoyed expanding my music knowledge because I have just a limited view of music, and people bring in donated CDs.
I have to challenge that. Expanded view of music compared to most people.
Well, we live in a day and age where CDs are plentiful. Anybody can put one out, and there are just some incredible musicians and songwriters.
Well, Jim, how big is your personal collection?
That's a tender subject. I want you to know that before we go there, I donated over 300 CDs to this.
That gives people an idea how big your collection is. Those are ones you said, I don't really need these anymore.
About 10 times that. I feel sad, I have to admit, when I think of my CD collection, when I look at it, that one of the tragedies of my life, and I don't know if this carries over to anyone else, I only have one set of ears. And that means that when I'm listening to a CD, there's a bunch of CDs that I'm not listening
to. There's 3,000 there.
Exactly.
How many CDs can you listen to in your lifetime? I have a question about one of the sets that came through. I think it was Mildred Bailey. Can you tell us a little bit, kind of an unknown name, but really significant. We just learned about her a little bit at that movie Rumble that KRFY offered to the community recently.
I do want to say that right now, John Ryans, the jazz person, has disappeared with it, and that's okay. But Mildred Bailey, in the movie Rumble, that was KRFY's thank you to the North Idaho regional community for supporting us. Tony Bennett came on, and he was talking. It was the subtitle of the movie is Indians Who Rock the World of Music. And he came on and he talked about when he was like 16 to 21, the person whom he listened to the most was Mildred Bailey. And for her phrasing and how important she was to Frank Sinatra. And lo and behold, I discovered that she was a member of the Coeur d'Alene Indian tribe, that she had 3 number one songs in the late 30s, early 40s. Who had heard of her? And so I ferreted around. Thank goodness for Amazon.com. As much as we might like to support small independent businesses, they do have access to a lot of stuff. And that's not a pitch for Amazon. But I found a 4-CD set of Mildred Bailey. And what's sort of interesting, though, about it is it was produced in Europe, collected in Europe. And one of the things it's set upon in the liner notes is she was a major white woman singer of jazz. And I go, whoa. Which makes me think of Robbie Robertson's comment about be proud that you're an Indian, but don't let people know, and from the movie. So Mildred Bailey is a treasure, and she got her start. I think her father was a musician and then somehow got connected with Bing Crosby, of course, from Spokane, and spun off from there. But I guess in the 30s, this was the person to whom you listened to.
But was she a contemporary? Did she follow like Billie Holiday?
She was, I think she had health issues, and she dies relatively young. I'm thinking in her early 40s, but her heyday would have been late 20s into the 30s. Billie Holiday is 40s into the early 50s. So, you know, it's, I don't know if you'd say it generational, but siblings.
I think what came out in the movie is that Mildred Bailey had a unique phrasing, as you just said, and the rhythm, and it kind of was moving towards the very beginning thought of what might be eventually rock and roll. It had a different style that people noticed.
Oh, absolutely. She, the 4-CD set is really opened my ears, opened my ears. And she was terribly influential. But what I really found interesting is when we showed the film and there was a picture of Coeur d'Alene Indian Reservation, people went, you know, sort of like their breaths were sucked in, like, where's this going? And then, lo and behold, very few people knew about her. I have to admit, I didn't know about her until I saw the trailer to the film.
Exactly. That was a great film. I everyone will agree to that. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Netflix, it's a crucial movie, but what we're talking about is the CD sale. And then after the CD sale on Saturday, 7:30 to 4, the Decade Show from 5 to 8, the 50s, 60s, and 70s, as many of you know, and there's a little blurb in today's Bonner B, the passing of Jerry Warren. He was our guru of 60s music. And what we're going to do from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock, fellow broadcasters, friends, family members are going to come on the air, share memories of Jerry, and play some music. We're missing him already.
Yep. And if you would like to send in a little dedication or testimonial about your experience of Jerry on the 60s show or anything else, you can email that to us at krfyradio@gmail.com, and we'll read that. You could dedicate a song. We'll play that if we have it in our huge growing library, thanks to Jim Healy.
And Jerry. Jerry would be here every 1:30 on Tuesday and Thursday afternoons, blowing the dust off obscure. And when I say obscure, I'm putting that in caps, obscure songs from the 60s. And I've got one that I'm going to play on Saturday because I used to rip him about it.
Well, Jerry will be missed. He was one in a million. And I like how he always said at the end, see ya.
See ya.
At the end of the 60s show. And tomorrow on the morning show, Jim Healy and Jack Peterson will visit with Dennis Hammon.
Hammon, yep.
From the...
The Tractor Man. He is the one who is donating many of his machines to the home in Bonner County Fairgrounds. And so he's going to be here tomorrow and talk about his history and relationship with tractors and his love and passion for them. Such fun.
And we are out of time, Mr. Bessler, Mr. Chris Bessler.
Thanks,
Jim, for coming in and telling us about the CD sale, the used CD sale. We're going to go out with a song. This was Bob Dylan in 1965. It's the first time he ever played electric music on stage at the Newport Folk Festival. Had mixed reviews, but this was the song that he played that day in July 25th in 1965. He went from folk to electric with the Paul Butterfield Blues Band backing him up. And here is Bob Dylan, Maggie's Farm. Have a great day.
Bye now.